Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Greetings, gentlemen. Welcome again to yet another episode of the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay, at Scott McKay on both Twitter and Parler. Real Scott McKay on Instagram, Scott McKay on YouTube. You can find us on the web at mountaintoppodcast.com. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group yet, you need to get over and do that. Join a whole bunch of other guys. We're having a great time becoming better men. We're all like-minded over there. It's a great way to join a band of brothers who are committed to being the best men we could be and get the best women in our lives as humanly possible. That's the Mountaintop Summit on Facebook. With me today is a guest who's a female who's in the Marine Corps currently. So we love our military ladies out there, and she is certainly one, and you're going to like her too. She's really down to earth and very friendly and has lots of great things to say about the topic du jour, which is self-awareness. Now, we haven't talked about this much on this show, maybe because we lack it. But, you know, whether that's true or not, I guess we're all going to find out. And I suppose the best way to go from here is to introduce my guest. Her name is Anne Bernard from Las Vegas, Nevada right now, at least currently. She's originally from Canada, which I'm sure she'll talk about. And she is the head honcha over at 365 First. Anne, welcome.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this because self-awareness is one of those terms that gives a lot of us pause because we know it has something to do with exactly what it says. It's about us and it's about being aware. And then we feel really uneasy about the fact that we still don't know what it means, as if kind of like it's a sign that we lack self-awareness because we don't know what self-awareness is. But, you know, that irony aside, I guess the first place we really should start for the benefit of everybody involved here is to define self-awareness. So tell me, Anne, what is it to you?
That is always a great place to start at the beginning. Right? So self-awareness is a conscious knowledge of your own character, your feelings, your motives, and your desire. So it's having that deep understanding of who you are, what drives you, what motivates you, what inspires you. And it is the driving factor that really allows you to live a life that is the most fulfilled and in alignment with who you are. But it's also a moving target. So you can't just wake up someday and decide you're going to go through a questionnaire, figure out who you are, and then push it aside and continue on with your life. So it is something we are moving targets. We might have some military terms that get thrown in there. So
that's right.
I apologize ahead of time. But so we're moving targets and we're constantly being bombarded by information, by other people's points of views and opinions and influence, and whether, you know, it's marketing, the people in our lives. So a lot of people are interested and invested in having some sort of control over us, a sort of impact on us. So if we're not self-aware of everything that we're being bombarded with, then we change and we shift and we're not aware of that. And then we find ourselves confused. And so if you're in a state where you're confused, you don't understand why you feel the way that you feel, you think the way that you think, and another way of knowing that your self-awareness is not where it needs to be is you're having difficulties making decisions. So if you have a tough time making up your mind, that's because you don't know what you want. You don't know who you are.
Wow. There's a lot there. There is. I love the fact that you said it's a moving target, because one of the things that has been on our minds and indeed within our conversations on this show of late is how we have very granular personal control over our own identity and indeed our personality. Dr. Benjamin Hardy was on not too long ago talking about how personality isn't permanent, regardless of what a Myers-Briggs test may have told you back in your 20s, you know, and this moving target It seems to me like you could either be the driver of this vehicle that's moving, or you could be in the passenger seat being driven along by all these other influences such that you mentioned, right?
Absolutely. Very well said. And I don't know about you, but I always choose to be in the driver's seat.
Well, I would think most people would. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. I mean, in real life, I do. I prefer to drive rather than be a passenger. I think most guys do. It's interesting. Back when I used to ride sport bikes, I was happy to go, you know, over 100 miles an hour on my motorcycle. And I also noticed that most women I met were more than happy to be the passenger. But there was no way I was going to get on the back of some other guy's bike and let him try to kill me. So I don't know. Maybe it's a guy thing.
I had a motorcycle because I did the whole back of the motorcycle. I'm like, I'm not the type to be in the back of a motorcycle, and I'm definitely not the type to be the passenger. The Bernards are very obsessed drivers. So, but I do believe, I'm going a little off course, but I do believe you can tell a lot about
off-road motorcycling.
Yeah, you can tell a lot about a person by the way that they drive. So I always said, you know, in a hiring process, I'm going to take somebody out, have them drive, and then I'll decide if I want to hire them or not.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good strategy, actually. Yeah, I want to test drive before I find out whether you're going to be my driver for wherever we go or whatever we're doing. I think that's actually very smart. But anyway, getting back on the main highway here. As far as self-awareness goes, you know, you can get on Twitter, you can get on Facebook, and it's amazing how people have been told what to believe. And they've been told who they are. And not only that, but other people, once they find out something about you in 280 characters or less, will assign all sorts of labels onto you also, which is another thing we've talked about recently on this show. And people will get their feelings hurt by that. They'll feel like they have to go on the defensive about that. And I'll tell you, with 60-some thousand guys on my newsletter list, all of whom are cloaked with the anonymity of the internet, I learned a long time ago, I really can't let someone else's opinion affect who I am at my core. But like you said so eloquently, if we don't know who we are, we don't know what the elements are that make up our identity and our self, then really it's all open to debate, not only with other people, but within our own personality as well, right? Kind of deep.
Yes. And it's where it's the most dangerous is actually where it's in a debate state with yourself, because then you can't have peace, you can't have joy or happiness or contentment, because you're constantly torn and you're constantly being, you know, shifted from one direction to the next. And then it's whoever comes into your sphere of influence that, oh, well, today I feel this way and I think this, and then tomorrow it's going to be somebody else. And then, you know, how do you accomplish your life? Like, how do you live up to who you were created to be if that's how you are? So it's very important to take the time to figure out who you are and stay in tune and in touch with who you are. So one of the things that we talked about was that it bothers me in the self-development industry that we do throw terms around and we talk things to death, but we then don't go into, okay, what can I actively do to, one, raise my self-awareness, and then, two, stay in touch with who I am. So I'm a strong believer in, if you put in habits that you embed into your life, and then they continue to keep you in touch with who you are as you continue to move forward. And for me, that's another big thing about life, right? It is about progression. It is about continuously growing and moving forward. And so you know who you are, and then you're purposely evolving who you are.
There was a fascinating study that came out not too awful long ago, and I don't know the exact numbers, but people who believe something will gravitate towards information online that validates their belief rather than even considering anything at all that goes against that belief. And not only will they agree or disagree, but they'll place value judgments on it. Like, you're a good person if you said something I agree with, and you're a bad person if you said something I disagree with. And not only that, but the trend is people will take that to an extreme, even vis-a-vis cognitive dissonance. In other words, there is a strong margin of proof that what I'm saying or believing is not true at all, yet I'm still going to cling to it. And I think that's very troubling in today's culture, although I'm not sure we've been dumbed down like some suppose. I think we've always been like this, but social media exacerbates it. And then we engage in that cognitive dissonance, either willfully or without having the self-awareness to realize it's going on, right? And I'm not sure at times whether people really are lacking this level of self-awareness or even awareness to what's around them as well, or whether they've just gotten on the bandwagon of, I would like for you to believe the way I do, even if I know I don't believe what I'm trying to tell you to believe. It really reaches this meta level of just poisonous dialogue where it seems like all of our self-awareness collectively is kind of under attack from all sorts of unexpected sources on the daily. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely agree. So you have your echo chambers, and then you have all the algorithm on all the social media platform on the internet that are designed to keep you exactly how you are, so that they can continue to target you, so that you buy. So it's, you know, I'm all about capitalism. However, we need to understand what's on the other side of that so we don't fall into the trap. So there are people in control and in power that benefit from you being in an echo chamber. And then there are many businesses that benefit from you having the same habit, the same routine, the same patterns, the same attraction to things. And they understand who you are and they know how to target you. So everybody benefits from that except you, because they're trying to keep you exactly the same. So if you're struggling with a problem, if you're having difficulties within your relationships, the depth of the impact that that resonates and echoes in your life is so deep when there are so many powers that are trying to understand who you are better than you know yourself, so that they can have greater control over you. And the only way that you break that is that you constantly look to test what you believe. So I don't want somebody else. I'm not going to get into many debates with people because I'm not interested in arguing. I hate drama. I hate that. Now, on a personal level, though, I test what I believe every so often. And usually I'll do that by exposing myself to a first time, to a new experience, something that I've never done before. And when I do that, and we talked about this, traveling is a great example of doing that, finding yourself in a completely different culture and having experiences and all your senses, you know, being tickled by things that you don't know, so that you can have the awareness of, wow, okay, this is how I feel about this. And then you can explore what that means to you. But you can do that at home by seeking what is different to you. If you can manage to have Facebook, Twitter, Google, whatever, wherever you hang out, if you can manage having the algorithm not know how to target you, then it means that you are exploring. And through the exploring of different things, you solidify what is you, but you also become open-minded to what the possibilities are. So we're stepping into a different topic when we talk about open-mindedness, but that's a great, amazing quality to have along with your self-awareness, because you're always going to go seek out something different to, again, understand like, oh, in this new space, in this new experience, I feel this way or I don't feel this way and I think this or not. And that then continues your evolution. And that way when you are bombarded by all the same stuff, you like, what is this providing me? How is this like, you know, fueling and feeding my soul and my growth? Well, it isn't. So let me go find things that actually do.
Yeah, all of that is so right on the money and so smart. It seems to me that curiosity leads to world travel and looking for experiences that take you out of that dreaded comfort familiarity zone, except so few people actually dread their comfort familiarity zone, right? It seems like it's the anti-echo chamber. to be curious like that. Yet so many people find that comfort familiarity zone in an echo chamber of people who think the way they do, and they get kind of lulled into lacking self-awareness in that they think everybody's like them. And meanwhile, it could be a very small cross-section of the population who feels that way. Yet so many people nowadays, Anne, are being kind of herded into one echo chamber or the other. And here's the way we feel here. You may have gravitated here because you feel a certain way. Well, here's the rest of the story. Here are the things you're allowed to believe and well, let's just say in quotes, strongly encouraged to believe because you're a part of us. And, you know, all those other people who don't think like us, they're just bad people. Stay away from them. And next thing you know, if you become self-aware enough to break free from those constraints of the echo chamber, whichever echo chamber it is, by the way, you suddenly start saying to yourself, wait a minute, why do I have to believe this just because I don't believe that? They don't seem like they have a whole lot to do with each other. Then you become an independent thinker and you start having original thoughts, thoughts that are uniquely your own that you really honestly resonate with. Then what happens is if you dare present one of those thoughts, you're going to get hit from both sides. The people who disagree with you will crucify you. And of course, because you have this self-awareness and you know who the hell you are, not only what you believe, but importantly, wait for it, why you believe what you believe, not because someone told you, but because you figured it out for yourself, right? Then you're able to counter that hate or that disdain that comes from elsewhere. But then what's really surprising is the people you thought were on your side go, wait, no, 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 you're starting to deviate from this echo chamber a little bit. You're not allowed to think like that, because if you think like that at all, you must be one of them, not one of us, right? You saw a lot of this in the political cycle right now, but I think it also translates to all sorts of, you know, societal and psychological issues as well, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's definitely more in the political cycle, but I think the thing that you're going back to is that having self-awareness doesn't mean that you have to enter the echo chamber, right? So I don't have a need to go prove any of my point of views anywhere. I don't have that desire. I don't have that need. I have my point of views. I'm confident in who I am. I'm confident in what I believe in. I am open-minded to what other people believe in and you know, what they follow. I have no desire to change them. I mean, I think that's a key point here, right? But now we're stepping into being very confident. So yeah. To be confident, you have to be self-aware. So self-awareness is the foundation of any self-development that you embark on. Your number one thing that you need to do before entering any self-development program is raising your self-awareness and understanding who you are. And then you can venture into additional self-development. And when you do that, you know, as somebody who's confident, like, I don't care, man. I don't need to argue with you. I don't need to be right. I have better things to do. I have other interests, passions, and I like to have intellectual conversation. I like to tell stories. I like to connect with people. If that's who you want to be, I respect it. Go for it and do great things. Hate all you want, but you're not going to be in my sphere of influence. You're not going to be in my life. And I have no qualms with that. I've lived my entire life that way. And people don't come into my space that are like that because they're not welcome. They know that they're not going to engage me. They're not going to move me. So, you know, I think that's part of being self-aware, of being confident, of quite frankly, having a life, of having passions, having interests, of being engaged with living, with growing, with developing positive relationships. So it's where are you spending your energy and your focus? And that's part of your self-awareness. So if you find yourself in drama, wake up to, okay, I have a drama-filled life, or I'm angry. I went through a few years where I encountered a lot of failure, and I became so angry, and I didn't realize how angry I was until we adopted this, his name's Little Man, we adopted this dog, and he was scared of everything. And we live in New Orleans. And when I take him on walk, he was just so scared. And he would make me so angry that I almost hurt him. And then I realized, holy cow, there's something seriously wrong with me that have this level of anger. Where does all this anger come from? Well, while, you know, I claimed back then that I had self-awareness, obviously this anger, all the failure that I was not addressing, you know, was creating anger in me. And then I came head to head with it. And once I had the awareness that I'm extremely angry, then I can start dealing with it. I can start understanding how I became that way, making a decision. I don't want to be that way. And the way I did is I made a promise. I made a promise to a dog that I would love him and I would show him trust. And, you know, he would have a home. And in the process, I would work through my anger and my impatience. And he's, you know, the biggest promise I've made in my life. He's been in my life for 10 years. He's traveled the world with me. He's been in more countries than most people. And we go on journeys when we realize I want this change. And then understand, okay, what does that look like? What does that mean? And then, you know, we proceed from there.
Yeah, I mean, so much to talk about there. Having feelings you don't even recognize that you're having, or having feelings that you're surprised became so strong, and then feeling a little ashamed at how something so small bubbled up those feelings in you. You know, like someone on Twitter says, you're an idiot, and spells it wrong, you know, like Y-O-U-R, an idiot. And that was after you said something intelligent, and you're really mad at this person, and all they've really done is demonstrate they don't operate under any logic structure whatsoever. I mean, the most baseline logical fallacy is ad hominem, calling somebody a name, which means they don't have any logical take at all. They just don't like yours. Well, those people aren't a part of the adult conversation, and they're very easily and summarily dismissed once you realize, you know, my self-awareness, who I am, has long since been decided. This person can think anything they want of me, and it doesn't change it. And I think that's a very valid lesson there. And, you know, if it takes adopting a pet who's going to love you unconditionally to come to grips with that corner of your personality you want to deal with, I think that's very powerful. And I think a lot of guys listening, I'm sure, can relate to what you said. Pets can teach us a lot, you know. One thing I want to kind of jump off to from what you just said is this idea of self-awareness being the foundation of confidence, because you dropped one hell of a bomb on this conversation by saying that, Anne. And, you know, a lot of guys, the holy grail is confidence. You know, if I just believed women would be attracted to me, if I just believed I could make more money, if I believed I deserved this promotion, all would be well in the universe, because then I could go make it happen. Guys, people in general, we all sense that if we believed in our own competence a little bit more, we would go further in this life. The problem is figuring out where we're competent and acting on it. So how does confidence directly, objectively affect self-awareness? I think that's a good discussion to have.
So, well, it's the other way around, right? So self-awareness directly impacts your self-confidence.
Fair enough.
So again, self-awareness is understanding who you are, which means what you're capable of. So all your strengths, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, your flaws, you know, when you have that complete understanding of who you are, then you can't be phase one when somebody else points it out to you. Because you're like, yeah, dude, that's right. I am like that, right? So, you know, when you're a confident person, you know who you are and you accept who you are. Now, you know you're on a path of growth and development, that, you know, you have the growth mindset. You're not a static being. You're going to continue to grow and forge ahead. But you know from what place that you're starting from. So you need to be on solid ground to build anything. So when you're on that solid ground and you believe in yourself, so you might have setbacks, you might have failures, but that doesn't change that you believe you can do it. You can go back and look at your strengths, look at your weaknesses, look at your flaws and say, okay, I failed here because I lack a little bit of this. So, you know, my first go around as an entrepreneur, there's no doubt that I lack patience. It's also why I'm a crappy shot. I don't have the patience, you know, sight alignment, sight picture, inhale, exhale, you know, smoothly pull the trigger. I'm impatient. I just want to just get it done. And I'm the same way as an entrepreneur. I just want to get it done. I love results. I'll do the hard work and I want to get it done. Now, truth is, in business, you have to queue things up. You have to be patient. And that's, you know, that hasn't been in my nature. So having the understanding, like, okay, I failed as an entrepreneur. I lack patience. I mean, there were other things, you know, as far as business structure that I also needed. But, you know, it's very easy to get knowledge about business. It's more difficult to get understanding of who as a person you are and what you need to change to be successful as an entrepreneur. So patience was one of those things. So I didn't stop believing that I could do it. I needed a little bit more of something else, right? And sometimes you make it a little further along and you couldn't visually see or have the understanding there was something else because you need to get to that next step. So a confident person understands that and they're walking that path and they're on that journey and they continue to grow, they continue to learn and do what is necessary to get to that next level. And no one can come in and stop them or throw them off course because they believe in themselves. They know who they are. They believe they can do it. And they're not going to let anything stop them. So you roll up your sleeve and you do the hard work. And don't get me wrong, you know, there might be times where you don't always feel as strong. But when that happens, you also have the awareness, okay, there are cycles that happen in my flow of motivation, my flow of inspiration, and I understand my own cycles. And so I'm in a low point right now, so I'm not going to push myself. I'm going to cut myself a break because I know when I come out of it, I'm going to be better for it. So for me, something that happens is I go hardcore, you know, for periods and then I kind of shut down. Well, I don't beat myself up when I shut down because when I shut down, when I come back up, I have like creativity. I get hit by creativity. So for me, that's my cycle of creativity. So, you know, I have the awareness of that versus, you know, if you listen to Gary Vee, Gary Vee's going to tell you nobody's going to outwork me and they go, 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 go. And he tells you that that's the way to go. Well, that's the way to go for Gary Vee. That might not be the way to go for you. I realize that's not the way to go for me. So if I'm going to be the best that I can be and I'm going to make it to the mountaintop and I'm going to succeed, I'm going to do it having the understanding of how I function. And then I'm going to maximize how I function. And that is what self-awareness provides you. And that is why it builds your confidence.
Well, you know, I think a lot of this comes back down to wisdom, life experience, maturity. Self-awareness is not a task that we decide to tackle one morning and a couple hours later we're there. It's a life journey. And, you know, we can evolve and change over the course of our lives. So obviously, if we're young and someone says, oh, you can't do that, and we resolve ourselves to get good at that because someone said we couldn't, I would say that's a lack of maturity and indeed a lack of self-awareness. So, you know, someone may tell you you're not good at something. Well, they may be right. You know, I may not have a whole lot of aptitude towards doing this. So instead of feeling defensive towards that and saying, well, I'm going to prove this person wrong, I let it slide and I go do those things that I have aptitude towards and that I do well. To me, that's just a matter of maturity and reckoning with the journey of life that helps us gain experiences and realize what we like doing, what we're passionate about, and what we're actually good at. And indeed, the curiosity and what you like to talk about, according to your own brand, trying things for the first time allows you to get a better handle on the variety of those options that are available to you, right?
Absolutely. But see, in what you said, the thing about life is there's always flip sides, and there are flip sides to flip sides.
So, it's complicated.
It is, because while I might not be naturally talented at something, and someone might say, "Yeah, you probably don't want to do this. It, you know, it doesn't come naturally to you." Well, there's value in doing it to learn hard work and to learn grit, right? So there's always a flip side. And the reason why I tell people to embrace first-time and new experiences and pursue them, especially in adulthood, obviously, as you know, as a kid, you're exploring life, you naturally do more of that, even as a teenager. And as you become an adult, you kind of, you know, you had your experience as a kid and you decided, yeah, I'm good at this. I'm not good at that. I'm not going to do that. Right. So for example, in sports, you might have realized I have good hand and eye coordination, but I have crappy feet and eye coordination. So you went into sports or you went into activities that maximize the use of your hand and eye coordination because that's what you were good at. Now you're naturally good at it. You pursued it. So you have developed your brain to be good at that, right? To have a more natural tendency towards that. But especially as you get older in years, your brain benefits from you saying, you know what? What I should actually focus on is my eye and feet coordination. Let me pick up soccer. Let me pick up actually different things that now requires different coordination, because now that's going to wake your brain back up to say, hey, what's going on? We're not used to doing this, right? And it's going to have to fire, you know, neuroplasticity is going to have to fire different things. And again, now this ties to your self-awareness. So understanding like, hey, I have naturally have pursued these things because they were easier for me. But there's a point in your life where you should say, well, you know what? I'm an adult now and I understand that I can actually apply myself and I can do things that I haven't done before. And so for me, I joined the Marine Corps at 17, turned 18 in boot camp. So, and I was all about being very active, very outdoors, sporty, and, you know, everything that had to do with craft or music or arts, I kind of like, it did not come naturally to me when I was a kid. I never really had an interest in it. Well, when I started my journey of first time in your experiences, I started exploring this whole world that I had decided at one point in my life that wasn't for me. And when I started exploring this world, I didn't, you know, all of a sudden have natural talent at it, but I realized it is very rewarding to make something with my hands. And I don't give a crap at 43 years old if what I make is any good. I enjoy making something. And that provides me, you know, value and happiness. And it allows me to continue to grow and explore different things.
Yeah, you know, something that's come up recently in my reading, personally, not on the show yet, which is why I bring it up now, is maybe the goal shouldn't be to do those things which we're best at and to master them and to come in first place all the time. Maybe it really is better to be a jack of all trades to some degree and dabble in a bunch of different things just for the sake of experiencing them and enjoy the journey instead of feeling like we have to come out on top with a first place trophy. Now, I struggle with this with my kids because they love to win in the sports they're involved with. And of course, I love to win in everything I'm involved with. And winning is fun, of course. But if I say to myself, I'm never going to win at this, I don't have the natural aptitude to be a world champion at it, therefore, I'm not even going to give it a go at all. Yeah, I think you make a good point. We're robbing ourselves of experiences that could enrich who we are, make us more self-aware. And also, this is a good segue to it leading to another skill you love to talk about, which is the art of storytelling. And as much as the likes of Dale Carnegie would say that we need to be better listeners than talkers, because it makes people like us more, there is definitely an art to having something interesting to say so that people can get to know you better. And I know this for you is a big part of self-awareness, you know, rolled into kind of a larger scope. So go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. So my world revolves around first time and new experiences. And so I created, due to COVID, I found myself having to pivot and I started exploring more first time storytelling. And what first time storytelling is that it is a method for you to easily communicate who you are in an engaging way. So you are the sum of all your experiences and everything you've ever done in life started with a first time. You can go back and pull a thread through your entire life just by looking at all the first times. Now, some of your first times, they were a one-time deal. That doesn't mean that didn't have an impact in shaping and impacting who you are today. You also have domino first times in your life where you can go back, look at your life and say, I had this experience and then it led to this next experience. But then I met this person and it led to this. So in first time storytelling, what I teach people is to create a first time story repertoire to where they look at their lives and they tell stories about their first time experience and how that shaped and impacted their life. So how I became who I am through the things that have happened in my life. And that process makes you have to think about the events in your life, how they impacted and shaped you. How did you feel about them? What did you think about them? And then why did you think what you thought about them? And what do you think about those events in your life now? And that's pulling a lot of layers, but that's allowing you to get really clear perspective on your life, everything that has happened to you and how you've become who you are. And then you tell the stories to other people to be able to better communicate who you are. I have a quote. I say, you know, after a conversation, when you walk away, Scott, I don't want you to have an opinion of who I am. I want you to have an understanding of who I am. It's my responsibility to make sure that you have that understanding of who I am. And the only way I can fulfill my responsibility is that I know who I am and I can communicate that to you. And so that's what I create the program, How to Become a First-Time Storyteller, to be able to do that and at the same time connect you to understand how impactful the first times in your life have been, and gets you inspired and motivated to keep adding them into your life so you continue to grow.
I'll tell you what, Anne, that idea you just expressed about it being our responsibility to help someone form not an opinion of who we are, but an understanding of who we are is powerful stuff for sure. That's definitely not the easiest skill to master given the knee-jerk world of Twitter and social media out there where we're all judged summarily after 140 characters, right? But yeah, that's one of the skills you're covering in your program. That's reason enough to get our hands on it right there. You know, as you were talking, the idea came to mind that, you know, pretty much all of us are told in second or third grade by our teachers that we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You're not going to learn anything unless you shut up and listen. And one of the interesting things that I found, and it may be a personality type thing, although personality isn't permanent, right? is that often I learn by talking. You know, as I process something verbally in conversation with someone else, I'm coming to realizations in my brain by doing that. And I would dare say that this art of storytelling that you're talking about and that you hold so dear really does help us become more self-aware because we're articulating those things that usually just rattle around inside our brain and inside our soul. And now they're coming out, you know, they're able to be seen by everybody else. And sometimes people can give you feedback on your story and it helps them gain another level of self-awareness because they never thought about it that way before. So I love what you're talking about. We're running out of time. But I have a question I've got to throw on the table. We're talking about self-awareness as if it's this universally wonderful thing. But I got a lot of guys out there who are really smart and really find themselves affected by analysis paralysis a bit. Is that related to self-awareness? And if so, can you have too much self-awareness? I mean, some guys take themselves so seriously, like every time someone says something untowards toward them, they feel disrespected and feel like someone's got to pay. Or sometimes guys obsess over one little detail, getting it right. And of course, the aforementioned over analysis leading to analysis paralysis. I'm actually reminded of a British television show. Some of the guys in the UK have undoubtedly watched this show before because it's hugely popular there. Not so much in the United States because it's a BBC thing, of course, called Peep Show that ran from about 2000 to 2015 with the British comedy duo of David Mitchell and Robert Webb. And it's really a reboot of The Odd Couple. And instead of one being messy and the other impeccably neat, one of them completely lacked self-awareness to the point where they didn't even know what they were doing and were a total slacker and had no direction in life and were blown and tossed around by someone's opinion constantly. And the other one was so deep into self-awareness mode at all times that he made himself neurotic and crazy trying to figure out how to hone in on this certain part of himself that was going to make someone like him better or to get something done. He was just hyper self-aware to the point where it was just annoying to everybody else. So, I mean, where's the balance here? Or do you disagree with me and say there isn't any?
I would start by saying self-awareness has zero to do with anybody else. So if there's even a slight thinking process that your self-awareness has to do with how you are with other people, what other people think of you, you're freaking starting off right off for the wrong way. It's about you. It's about you understanding you. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Therefore, you cannot have too much self-awareness. Now, if you start bringing other people into the equation, we're not talking about self-awareness anymore. We're talking about some other thing that you have to prove. We're talking about ego. We're talking lack of self-confidence. We're talking about different things than self-awareness. So now there's such a thing as, yes, you can overthink things, again, not tied to necessarily self-awareness, and overthinking things because you truly care and you don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to hurt somebody else. But again, it involves another party. If you have a tough time making decision, it's not because you have self-awareness. For me, it's going to be very hard for someone to sell me something. I know what I want. I know what I need, and I know when I need it. So if you can be easily sold something, start thinking about how self-aware are you, because you can be shifted with the wind.
That's really interesting that you would say that, because 95 times out of 100, when a guy calls me and says he's ready for coaching, it's a 5-minute conversation. I mean, he knows what he needs. He knows I'm the guy to help him out and let's do this thing. You know, they've done the research. They've arrived at that conclusion. I obviously don't try to talk guys into doing coaching or anything like that when they're not ready for it or don't even want it. And I find that what you said resonates very clearly. You know, I think it's very true. Getting back to the show example. Okay. So maybe it isn't about self-awareness in particular by name, but the net of it for those two guys on the show is one guy is utterly shameless, right? And the other guy is very self-conscious. So self-consciousness is not to be confused with self-awareness, correct?
Correct. I would probably say the one that's shameless is probably more self-aware because he doesn't care. Like, I am who I am. Take me as I am. I'm going to be who I am.
Oh, no, you have to watch the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't have the context. So it's a hard, you know, it's a hard one to go with.
For sure. For sure. Her name is Lieutenant Colonel Ann Bernard, but you can call her Ann. And she is a United States Marine. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Scott. You're welcome. Yeah. It's been a blast.
And she is the author of How to Become a First-Time Storyteller and the founder and chief over at 365 First. And what I want to do, guys, is give you a chance to get your hands on her program on how to become a first-time storyteller by going to www.mountaintoppodcast.com/Ann. She's the first Ann we've ever had on the show. A-N-N is all it takes. Also, I'm going to put her book of the same name, How to Become a First-Time Storyteller, on my Amazon influencer page. You'll find it right at the top of the queue if you're consuming this show right after it's released. And that's, of course, as always, at mountaintoppodcast.com/Amazon. So go to /Ann to get the program, /Amazon to get the book. And thank you so much for this conversation. You clearly know your stuff. You give a lot of thought to it. And that can only mean you have become pretty self-aware yourself, which I and the guests all appreciate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, guys. If you haven't been to www.mountaintoppodcast.com lately, what I want you to do is go there and sign up to talk to me free for 25 minutes about where you are right now and where you want to be. And we can talk about putting a plan of action together to get you not only more self-aware, but to get you some of the results you're actually looking for in your life. Hey, are you lacking confidence? We learned today that that starts with self-awareness. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about getting the kind of women in your life you really want. And while you're there, sign up for my free daily newsletter, which is action-packed. Not a whole lot of fluff in there, gentlemen. I'll give you real tips you can use on a daily basis. Also, be sure to visit the fine gentleman over at Origin Maine by going to mountaintoppodcast.com/origin. Use Mountain10 to get 10% off. The best jeans you have ever worn. Fantastic boots. And while you're at it, also go to mountaintoppodcast.com/hero soap, where you can get all the soap and the brand new body wash you need, made only of natural ingredients using essential oils to make you smell like a man. And there's anything that women love, it's a man who smells right. And if there's anything that women are repulsed by, it's a man who doesn't. So get yourself over to mountaintoppodcast.com/hero soap, where you can also use the coupon code Mountain10 to get you some. And until I talk to you guys again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X and Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.